Well, good morning. Oh, it's afternoon now. Good afternoon. It's a very joy, big joy for me to be here today. I'm very touched and honored. And when Kathy called me a few weeks ago to be the speaker for your tea, I felt very humbled because I know the fine reputation this church has. And then to precede other teachers that have been here, I'm going, well, okay. So I've gotten past that. And I'm just really thrilled and honored and humbled to be here. I wanted to tell you a little bit about my background. I won't go too deep and too far. But I never heard of the Lord Jesus Christ until I was in my mid-40s. The only time I ever heard Jesus Christ was when my father was cursing. So it happened that all of my friends, I didn't know anyone that went to church. All of my friends were either Catholic or nothing. Didn't go to church growing up. My mother read her Bible every single day. Tried to get me interested in what she was reading, and I just totally turned away. But 1976, some of you that are in my era may remember that they had a I Found It campaign. It was a nationwide campaign, I Found It. And Dean Jones, who was an actor for Disney, was giving the gospel message on TV. I'd never heard it, and I'm not even a TV watcher, but God had that there for me. And it all made so much sense. I've always believed in God. I've never had a problem with that. I just didn't know the connection. So he said, if you have accepted Christ as your Savior, go to the phone and call, and we'll send you some literature. So when the literature came, I got it. I read it. I thought it was wonderful. I put it away in a closet. Didn't tell anyone about it. So, of course, my life didn't change, right? So that was in 76. Well, in 78... my young daughter at the time was in second grade, and they were going to be busing her to San Fernando, which I did not really want her being bused over there. We bought a home close enough to where she could walk to school. So as it was, I wanted to put her in Hillcrest Christian School, and at that time her dad was a public school teacher, and he said, if you want to put her in a school, you will have to go to work. So, as the Lord had it, I went to work for a Christian ophthalmologist that happened to work at Grace Community Church. And through him, after a period of time, I didn't start Grace until 1979. And I went in January of 79, and the pastor was speaking on Ephesians 5, women, be submissive to your husbands. I had never heard that. It was new to me, but the reason I believed it is Pastor John was up there with his Bible. I had my Bible. And what he was saying was what was in God's Word. I was really, really touched because I had never had that kind of teaching. I had been to Catholic church with friends. We were big in church of religious science, positive thinking, all that kind of stuff. But I've never had that kind of input before. So then we went back the next week. And in spring of that year, we had a family camp. And so my daughter and husband and I went to family camp. And a young woman there asked me, oh, is she an Awana? And I looked at her and I says, what is an Awana? I mean, I was so green, I had no clue. So when fall came, she got enrolled in Awana. And I felt very insecure in that because most of the women, I was had my daughter much later than I had the boys. And I was about 10 years older than most of the moms, and these moms knew everything. You know, they were biblically trained, they knew it all. So what I did was I became a listener. And the children told me the Bible verses. They told me the books of the Bible. That's how I learned the basics, through the children. So keep on teaching your kids what they need to know. So, of course, I'm here. You see me now 35 years later, which has been a blessing, believe me, starting from absolutely nowhere to finally get up to where I'm walking with the Lord and just very, very thrilled with the joy and peace that I have with that. So I'd like to ask a couple questions. How many of you personally have been blessed by someone that has served you? I'd like to see a show of hands. Oh, perfect. Lupe, can you tell me how somebody has served you in what way? I'm sorry. Okay. I beg your pardon? Let it cleanse your house. How about you, Leanne? Okay, Leanne had surgery and had someone helping her with meals coming in and out of the house. That's great. There's someone in the back. Okay, you don't want to talk right now. Okay. We'll let that go. Then I'd like to know how many of you have been able to serve others. How have you served others? Yes,
my husband.
You serve your husband.
Every day.
Every day. And that's what we're to do. That's wonderful. How about anybody else? Young lady over here in the blue dress, I don't know your name. How do you serve? You serve your mom. And I saw you get up and serve here too. You were the first little girl that raised their hand. You have a servant's heart. That's wonderful. Is there anyone else? Okay. Now, is there a difference between a slave and a servant? Well, I used to think they were the same, but there is a difference. They kind of intertwine and balance once in a while, but I read Pastor MacArthur's book on slave. And a slave is a person that's owned, and a servant has been bought. So being owned, we are bought with a price. Am I correct? We belong to Christ. We are his possession, or we are his slave. Excuse me. Now, to be a servant, what is our pay? A servant, usually you pay them, right? Our pay is grace upon grace and blessing upon blessing. That's all we need. That's just wonderful. The word servant is over 1,000 times in the New Testament. So it's a pretty important thing to be. Now, Matthew 20:28 says Christ came to serve, not to serve. And that's what our heart's motive needs to be. People watch us. We don't know that they're observing, but they are. And, you know, that's what they see the most is our gracious heart and our way we serve. Serving. Is it for recognition? To elevate yourself at the workplace? Is it to make possibly even to find a mate? Or could it be pride? It could be any of those things, and we need to examine our hearts about that. Now, some 20 years ago, beliefs were true of me. 20-some years ago, Pastor MacArthur had a reception in a separate area that he would greet new visitors. And I was asked one day by an elder if I would that, and I was very, very honored to do that. But I also got a little puffed up. I didn't know it at the time. It was a year when I found out. So I was the first person that anyone would meet. So I'd ask them their name, where they were from, put their name tag on them, and pass them on to the elder, to Pastor John, and then there were other elders and wives in the room. But I had a staff of 8 ladies that would work one Sunday a month, and they took care of the refreshment table, and they did a fabulous job. So I held that position for about 5 years and loved it. I enjoyed doing it, but it wasn't until several years later that I realized that I did a lot of it for recognition. And I really had a sinful attitude with pride in that. So I just asked the Lord's forgiveness. It was really a hard thing to do, but you know, small things come into our lives, and we can't help that. But we need to be, we can help it. We have to really check on things. Our attitude, it's okay until I go down there. Okay. Yeah, you want to turn this on? Right here?
Yeah.
I can't reach it. Thank you. Just a little technical problem. It's nothing big. This way I'm not going in and out, I don't think, if I hold it right. Anyhow, we just have to think of what our motives are and why are we serving. We're not serving ourselves. We're not serving men. We're serving Christ. He's the one that it counts in who we serve. Galatians 6:3 says, "For if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself." If we were still trying to please men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ. The Bible convicts us. It humbles us. It confronts us. And keeps us from any sense of importance. Am I still breaking up? Am I okay now? Thanks. So the goal of a servant is to please and glorify God and to minister to others. Serving one another, Galatians 5:13. Now, sometimes when we serve others, it's not always convenient, but we can't look at that. A month or so ago, I was asked if I would come to an older couple's home. Now, you would think that's funny, me calling somebody else older, but they were 92 and 97. And come help them with their dinner. Well, they had Meals on Wheels, which is their dinner. Pretty awful stuff. But at any rate, I went, and Bill spends most of the time in his chair. Their minds are perfect. Their bodies are kind of giving out a little bit. So Louise sat on the other side of the counter in the kitchen, and she's telling me where this is and where this is, which was fine because I had never been in the home before. And this is his tray, this is my tray, and I always serve him first. And I said, "How sweet you are. Now, how long have you been married?" She says, "Oh, over 60 years, and I love him more today than I've ever loved him." Now, I went out of that place blessed. I went there to bless them, to help them. I was so ecstatic when I left that home to see all that love and how she caters to her husband still. And she says, "Oh, I hope he goes before I do." She says, "I don't think he can make it without me." Isn't that sweet, really, at 97 and 92? And I've made an acrostic of the word servant. So part of it is serving one another. That's what I just went through. Okay, E is for eyes. Keep your eyes open for needs. You do not know when somebody needs some help. I often just, especially at Grace, we have so many people there and so many young people with strollers. And so try to hold a door open when you see a young mother pushing a stroller. If she, you know, carrying a couple kids behind her, open a door for the wheelchairs. It's just being alert. There's plenty of things out there that one can do. And then rejoice. Rejoice in delight. I just know that I have such a light heart when I'm able to serve others. And as I say, I often am the one that winds up being blessed. Now, value for V. Value the importance that God has put into your heart to serve. Those you are serving are worth it. But I ask you, are you worth it? Think about that. Now, A is to avoid an indifferent heart. We sometimes pick and choose who we want to serve. We choose people that are close to us, people we know, but we can't. Christ did not have expectations. He served everyone, and that is what we should be doing as well. Or just stay home. If you can't serve with a good, open heart, just don't bother. N is for needs. Anything can be met now or in the future. Sometimes, as Leanne had surgery, someone could run to the market for her, do her grocery shopping, take her to the doctor. There's so many different needs out there that you can do right away. A gift certificate to a fast food so she doesn't have to cook. You know, so that's sometimes easier to do. We don't always know everyone's diet, but sometimes a gift certificate helps and they can work on that too. And try to be helpful and kind to members of your own family. Isn't that a concept? Sometimes we get so comfortable in our own home, we forget to serve and we demand. So try to remember in your own home to be loving and kind to those around you. Now, T, touch someone's heart with an act of kindness. Sometimes just a smile. I don't know if you notice, but I do when I'm in a mall or other places that most people have a scowl on their face. If you smile at them, they usually will at least smile back. And the thing that's hard, my daughter works for Vaughn's Market and has for many, many years. and she at one time was a checker. Got to the point where she felt the customers were very, very rude, and so she's in another department now. But if you look when you're going through the checkers line, most people are on their phones. They nod like this to the checker. They look, they swipe their card, and they go like this, and they leave. Sometimes there's never eye contact or communication. So I've made it a habit. Say, hi, how's your day going? Did you come on? What time did you come on today? What time are you leaving? They smile, and they actually like to have a little conversation. So it's important to be able to do that. Then there's acceptance. We are not to bear burdens on the basis of how we feel about other people. The burdens, we need to come alongside, not always try to fix it. One of my friend's wives just passed away on Tuesday. And other than sending him a card, the only other thing I would be able to do with anyone in that situation is to sit and listen. Just listen. There's nothing you can do. It's comforting sometimes just to allow someone to talk. Just let them talk and get it out. So we need to have a spirit of gentleness, spirit of humility, and a spirit of love. Now, we also need to be available. So I think that 90% of us are all pretty busy people, am I right? And see some heads, yes? So to be available, make yourself available. We all have an hour or two a day somewhere, I'm sure, that you can give to someone else if it's necessary. You don't need to be available every day because people don't need your help every day. They could, I suppose. just try to stay others-focused. It's something that you eventually learn. It's like going to school. It's a new thing that you're learning. And the more you practice it, the easier it gets. And the more people appreciate it. Now, I happen to be no longer have a husband at home or children. So I have an insurmountable amount of time to use to spend on me if I wanted to. But, you know, I don't want to be self-focused. So I've made it a heart commitment to pray for someone every day and see if there's a need I can meet. A couple of years ago, my neighbor next door passed away. And I picked up her mail on a daily basis and watered her backyard for about 4 months until her home sold because her daughter didn't live in the area. And what a example to the others. I had a couple of neighbors say, well, why are you doing that? Why can't so-and-so come over? I said, well, why should she? You know, she lives so far away and she's working. So we don't do it because we want recognition. We do it from our hearts and we serve Christ. Now, the attitude of a servant is, like I said, there's no room for pride. Plenty room for humility. 3 years ago, I fell over my little dog, and I broke both wrists. Now, just for fun, I know this is awkward, sit on your hands for a minute or fold them in your lap and don't use them. Now, keep them there. Try and scratch your nose. Try and scratch your hair. You can do nothing with two broken wrists. Believe me. 6 weeks. Well, my neighbor took me to the doctor, to the hospital, and the social worker came in to me, and she said, do you have someone at home to take care of you? And I said, no. And she says, well, then you'll have to go to a skilled nursing facility. And I said, no. So we were talking about, well, do you have children? I said, yes. My boys all live 300 miles north, and my daughter lives down in San Diego. And at that time, my daughter and I had an estranged relationship, and I wasn't going to call her. I mean, after all, right? Pride? But my neighbor was there that took me to the hospital, so she called my daughter and told her what was going on. So the whole time I was being casted and so on and so forth, my daughter got the first train out of San Diego, got to Los Angeles. Someone picked her up there, and she wound up waiting for me when I was through at the hospital. Total shock. I just couldn't believe it. So on the way home, she says, Mom, I've got a plan. I'm going to take a 6-week leave of absence, and I'm going to come take care of you. Well, I'm going to cry right now. that was really a very, very special time. Because, not only because we had the estranged relationship, but she had been out of the home for a while because she was married and had children. And I hadn't really gotten to know her new personality, but we had fun. She made me laugh every single day. And she had to keep her sanity because she did absolutely everything for me. You know, you can't do anything. But the biggest part that was hard for me was learning to drink tea out of a straw. Now, that was humbling. But within a week, because many of my sweet friends sent me cards, she had to open each card, read what was the card said, as well as the note from whomever wrote it. And a week later, she says, "Mom, I think this is more for me than for you." So you would say, oftentimes, why did this disaster happen? How could this possibly bring glory to God? On and on. What does Romans 8:28 say? Pardon me? That's right. All things work together for good for those who love God according to His purpose. He had a purpose. She started reading her Bible again, came to church with me. She's just a changed woman. And so what did it do? It was a witness to neighbors and family. It restored a relationship for a broken relationship, brought a wayward sheep back to the fold. So we never know what God's purpose is in anything, so we just have to trust Him in whatever happens. Now, Charles Stanley made a comment in saying, most believers are not in a position to influence a lot of people. When we act, speak, are only the ones that are closest to us notice. But a chain reaction ripples outward to affect the entire community when we do acts of service. So I'm challenging all of you to find something that you can do for others. Now we get to an action part of the servant. So we've talked about the motive, the goal, and the attitude. Now let's go into the action part and see how it actually works. Now, several years ago, I was at a Christian Women's Club meeting, and I saw what I'm going to show you. And when I was finished with that, when the lady was finished speaking, I said, oh, I can do that. So with a few revisions and so on, I made it my ministry. And I know that each one of you ladies here can do the same thing. I put. Thanks. Am I on again? Okay, perfect. I call this a basket of blessings. Now, you have choices on how to use this little basket of blessings. As I'm unfolding here, it's going to take a few minutes. I'll explain some of it. For instance, I'll start right from the beginning. I went to a neighbor's house that I did not know. And you may not all have this personality, and it's quite all right, but there's other ways you can do it. So I pushed on her doorbell, and I said, hello, I'm Nan Taylor, and I'm your neighbor across the street. Do you have time for a cup of tea? So far, I haven't been turned down. So I follow that person to wherever. So if it's their coffee table and there's things on it, just kind of move them aside without being rude, and put your tablecloth out. Now, this whole time I'm talking to this woman, asking how long she's lived in Santa Clarita, or if it's a new neighbor, do you know where the post office is? Do you know where the bank is? And da-da-da. And I go to a certain church. Would you like me to take you some Sunday? And I haven't had anybody take me up on that yet. But we don't stop trying. So what I do is I just take this little basket of tea, and there's two tea bags in here already, and I always put in decaf because we do not know if they're on a strict diet, whether their caffeine can have caffeine or not in their diet. So when I do that too, I just take plates that they can use and I can use. And the other place that this works very well is at a bedside at a hospital. You know those trays that come out the hospital? This fits perfectly on it. Nurses love it. They don't drink out of it. They're always very, very impressed. And again, it's a testimony. It's what it is. Yes, it takes time. Yes, you have to plan it. I did this a couple of months ago to a young mother in our doulas class, and it wound up, I was the one that got the blessings at the end. We don't know. So you don't have to use linen napkins. You can use paper. There's no rule that says linen. I just happen to like to do that. So I do have it available, and it's just whatever you have that works. This is a teacup I usually give them, and it says on the outside, "And the greatest of these is love." So that's something that they look at every time they sip. Going with a testimony. But again, these are not always Christians. So if any of you have Emily Barnes' book, she has a little saying in there, a little tea time blessing. And I asked them, "May I say a blessing?" And usually, they always said yes. So this is not confronting, it's just honoring the Lord a little bit. "Lord, grant that our time together be steeped in serenity, sweetened by sharing, and surrounded by the warm fragrance of your love. Amen." So when I leave that with them. I'm looking for my card holder in here with all this plastic. So I leave that with them, and what they do with it is not my concern. And I also take flowers. These have not been in water since 8 o'clock this morning, so they're a little bit wilted. I tried to make a silk flower arrangement, but it never looked very good. So I'll just put this out on the table anyway. Sorry. They're a little wilted. Their heads are down. They're sad. So here we have plates. Always take cookies. I don't take scones because this lemon curd and everything is just too messy. So I just take some little tea cookies that are easy to eat, and sometimes I'll bake some bread at home, like a date nut bread or something to that effect. And if they have husbands, that's what I usually like to take, so she and I can have a slice and then leave the rest for the rest of the family. So I usually take a serving plate and put the crackers on them and then serve them to the lady. Okay. Here it is, the candle, the holder here. Now tell me, does this look difficult, ladies? No? All right, I went to the Michaels or Beverly's and bought this basket. And then to decorate it, I bought actually a whole bunch of roses and then cut them up and just glued it on here with some flowers. A ribbon, sorry. So that's what I call a basket of blessings. And I try not to forget anything in this little pouch. Is I have a creamer, I have sugar, I have more tea bags. So if you don't have something like this, just a very small cosmetic bag will work, the kind that zips up, so that you don't want them to do anything. I normally will take a thermos bottle of boiling water with me, depending where I'm going. If you're going to the hospital, you want to take the water because you can't be bothering the nurses. If it's a friend's home I'm going to, I'll say, "Would you mind just boiling some water?" Okay, then I take to leave. I don't wash dishes there. The only thing that's really soiled are the teacups. But I will usually just take plastic bags and just wrap everything and wrap it all up again. But it's worth doing it. So I would like to see that each of you can do that to somebody that you know and someone you love and someone you don't know. Whether someone just had some babies or a baby, some babies. So that is my basket of blessings. And again, it's being a servant and having a servant's heart. So I do hope that somebody will do that. So we'll go back here again. So in 2005, again, a little bit about me, I was diagnosed with colon cancer. I had surgery in October of that year. And the doctor removed about 12 inches of the colon and got all the cancer. However, he created a little problem with the intestines, and for 7 days in the hospital, I wasn't sure if I was going to live or not. Didn't care to be honest with you. I wanted to go to heaven. But God wasn't through with me yet. So 7 days later, the doctor did another major surgery, but I was there for 21 days. Nobody brought me a tea basket because I hadn't shown him how. But I really wasn't up to anything like that anyhow. So as I said, my desire was just really to go to heaven. And I heard a pastor say one time, no man is ready to live until he's ready to die. So I knew that each time I closed my eyes that I would wake up somewhere, either here or there. Now I ask you, do you have that same peace? Do you have that same hope and confidence knowing where you're going after you die? There's so much going on in the world today. Now I have a question that if you were to die today and you were to stand before God and ask him, why should I let you into my heaven? What would your answer be? Most likely, I'm a good person. I haven't killed anyone, robbed a bank, don't cheat on my husband. But it just isn't good enough. None of us are good enough. We all have a sin nature. God looks at our works as filthy rags in Isaiah. So there's nothing we can do to get to heaven. None of us is worthy. We're all humans born with a sin nature. What is the middle letter of sin? S-I-N. That's who we're most focused on. And it's natural. You know, we do take care of ourselves. We get up in the morning or go to bed or whatever. We do have to take care of our daily needs. But we have to get the focus off of ourselves. Sin is anything in thought, word, or deed that offends God. There's none righteous, not one. So then you should say, well then, what can I do to get to heaven? I'm so glad you asked. God has had a perfect plan right from the beginning of time. Because God loves all of you and me, he sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for our sins. He was our sin bearer. Yes, I did say all. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, have eternal life. The Bible also tells us that for grace you have been saved by faith. Not of works, not of yourselves. Grace is something you get as it's an undeserved gift. God gives us that gift. Now, if I should give any of you my watch and you tried to pay me for it, it would no longer be a gift. So God is offering you the free gift of grace. Besides God being a loving God, he is a just God and he must punish sin. As an example, if your child should disobey, there is a consequence for disobedience. And that's the same way that God works with us too. He has his way of chastising us, and we know, and it's okay, because if we're out of line, we need to know. Now, we all have choices to make in life, either right ones or wrong ones. And that's another living thing about God. We're not puppets. He allows us to make free choices if we wish to. So I am asking you to make a choice this afternoon to ask Christ into your heart so that you may have the hope to live with him in heaven for eternity. Now Jesus says in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one goes to the Father but through me. Now I know think that there is no eternity after death. There is eternity. You don't come back as your favorite movie star. You don't come back as a dog or your kitty. You either go to heaven or you go to hell. There's no choice. That is your choice. So, again, you might say, well, yes, I understand all that, but I like my lifestyle right now, and I don't want to make any changes. Well, if you remember last month, all those young people from San Diego area were on a bus. They were going to Humboldt State University. And were they excited? Don't you just think that they were just having the best time chatting and talking about what they were going to be doing when they got to school? And their parents were excited? Well, so a FedEx bus runs into it, and 15 kids lost their lives just like that. Then there's the Malaysian airliner that just disappeared. Those parents will never, those people, friends, will never have closure because their bodies were never found. And the parents of those kids were looking forward to talking to them and what they had excited and what they had planned for their lives. Instead, they planned funerals. Then we had also over in Japan, the students were on board of a ship that capsized. Again, bodies lost, never found. The tornadoes. We've had so many big crises in the last 2 or 3 months, and we do not know when our time is. So you do need to be prepared. To be prepared, know that you're a sinner, and we all are. Can't get away from it. That darling little baby of Jillian's, born with a sin nature, and that is the way it is in life. So we do have to recognize we're sinners. Ask Jesus Christ for forgiveness, cleanse us from all our unholy living, and make the right choices. Now, if you choose to follow Jesus, you've made the right choice. And if you choose not to follow Jesus, then you've made your choice. Now, for those of you who have decided to follow Jesus, please pray this prayer with me. If you'd please bow for a moment. Heavenly Father, in the mighty, precious name of Jesus, I ask you to cleanse my heart for your name's sake. Your word states, if I confess my sins, you are faithful and just to forgive me of my sin and to cleanse me from all unrighteousness. I want to be a vessel for you that you can use. I know I am a sinner and come humbly to you now to ask forgiveness of my sin. Cleanse me to start on a new path of life. I put my total trust in you and ask you to be the Lord of my life and complete control. Amen. Now, if you prayed that prayer, you were at the beginning of where I was 35 years ago. And this church is available to you 24/7. You will need a mentor to help have someone come alongside you and help you grow. Ask the person that you came with, for instance. Now, this is God's word. This is the truth. It's something you can trust. Don't leave home without it. Okay, let's pray. Father God, I just thank you again for this day. Thank you for these precious ladies that are here and came to have this lovely tea, Lord, and everything was just absolutely wonderful, and we thank you for that. And thank you for this time and sharing your word. And Father, I just pray, too, that someone here today has just chosen to walk with you, Father, and that would be just a joy to everyone. And we thank you again. I pray for these ladies as they go home today that they will have a safe ride and just enjoy everything that they had done today. And thank you for who you are. In Christ's name, amen.